Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 1 is where we'll start out tonight. I think our millennials thought we needed a little pepping up, and so they pepped us up. We should be ready to go through Job. It should help us as we're going through this a little bit tonight. And so let's talk a bit about who is it that God brags on. The man, you can also say the woman, that God brags on. Don't ever forget that the reason that Job got into trouble was because God bragged on him. Let's pick it up in Job chapter 1, and you'll see what I'm speaking about. Job 1 verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?' Then Satan answered and said, 'Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Now, as you look at this passage, the Lord told Satan what was what. The Lord put Satan, you might say, in his place. And how did this kind of come down? We'll go back again and look in verse 6, and it says that Satan comes up. Satan is able to approach the Lord. The Lord asks Satan, "Where is it that you're coming from?" And he admits he's been going up and down the world, all around the earth, causing trouble, you and I know. And then verse 8 says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So here's the Lord bragging on this man. This is the Lord bragging on Job. And so you may have seen something like this. I remember as a kid being in certain situations and hearing people brag about their kid who'd gone off to college or who had this important job at this place. They say, "Have you seen my son Johnny? Or have you seen my daughter Sally? She's the brightest one in all of Lenore County. Or he's the most important person down at the fire station there in Kinston." You know, they're bragging because they're proud of what has happened and they feel pretty good about what their kids have done for them. Or have done in life. And so in this example, he says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" And then he says, "There's none like him on the earth. He's a blameless man. He's an upright man who fears God and he turns away from evil." So there are people that don't just do the things that everyone else does. There are people that don't just go with the flow. There are people that say, "I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care how much they lie. I don't care how much they steal. I don't care what they might say or how they may lack integrity. This is the kind of life I'm going to live." And so the Lord says, that's who Job is. He is a person that is different than the other people that you deal with down there on that earth. What do you think about him, Satan? And so Satan comes back with the quick answer. Because one of the things you do know is that when you do follow the Lord, things do, as a rule, go better for you. You know, you do tend to be in a little bit better shape. And we have to be careful and not say, well, you know, don't become a prosperity gospel preacher. Well, we'll not do that. But it is true, as a general rule, you reap what you sow. There are ups and downs in life. But the tendency is that God's going to find a way to bless you even when you have these downs. You are going to find some sort of blessing in some way. And so the Lord says, here's my man. I'm bragging on him. And Satan says, well, the only reason he does it is because you've given him all this stuff. You have given him, you know, you might say nice houses. You have given him children, he might have said. But he said, you have blessed him, and that is why he is such a good man. Then he says, so he doesn't fear you for no reason. And then he says, you have put a hedge around him. and his house. So we do know there are times where God puts a hedge around his people. He protects them from those that would do them harm. And he says, you've got this hedge around him. You won't let me at him. You will not allow me to harm him. And then he says in verse 11, he makes an accusation. If you stretch your hand and you touch all that he has, in other words, if he loses his riches, if he loses his children, later if he loses his health, but he hasn't got there yet, he says, then if you do that, then he will curse you. And the Lord said, well, we'll see about that. And that's what happens. He loses his family, he loses his health, he loses these other things. You know what happens next. He loses all of that. You get down to the end of that chapter and he says, look, I'm going to still bless the Lord. You see in verse 20, it says he arose, he tore up his robe, he shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. So he did mourn. He did go and had the funerals, but he was continuing to worship the Lord. And then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Those children belong to the Lord. Those houses belong to the Lord. Those employees, that business, all of that wealth, it belonged to the Lord. The Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 22, and in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Well, what's God going to do with that? Look back in chapter 2, and it says again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself. And the Lord said to Satan, well, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it. And you know, of course, causing all kinds of trouble. Verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, well, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, well, behold, he's in your hands, only spare his life. So stop and think about that for a moment. First he said, you have blessed him, you blessed him with children, you blessed him with wealth, and all of these things, and so that's why that he's been a man that you'll brag on. God says, okay, you can take those things away. Now those things are taken away, and God's bragging on him again. He says, well, the only reason he does this is he's implying he didn't care about his children. He's implying he didn't care about his employees, and the wealth was but so important. You allow him to have bad health, and he will curse you. And the Lord says, well, let's see it. Let's see what happens. The point is, this is a man that God keeps bragging about. He's a man that God says is a wonderful fellow. God is happy. He's pleased. He's blameless. And I know in my heart that many people read this and say, don't brag on me. You know, don't be saying to Satan, Lord, hey, you know, that Robert, he's cool stuff. Don't do that. Just forget me. Let me fly under the radar. You know, I want that hedge to stay up. But remember that each and every one of us are put here to honor God. We're put here to glorify God, and we're put here to please God. And so what you can really see as you're looking at this is that most of the people didn't honor God. Most of the people didn't glorify God. Most of the people didn't please God, but there are a few. There's a remnant. There was this guy named Job, and he was a fellow that did that. And no matter what we think about what happened to him, this is the guy we want to be. One of the things I will remind you of, that we will live a short life. Maybe you'll live to be 100. I don't know. Somebody in here may live to be 150. I kind of doubt it, but it could happen. Okay, but let's just say you live to be 150. After a bit, you're going to be gone. That's going to be it. That's going to be it. Talking to some of our folks today, they said, you know, hey, 80, it's been rough. You know, after I reached that milestone, it's just everything. You know, it's tough. And so what we think of is, you may live to be 80. You may live to be 100. You may live to be 150. But there's not a whole lot to that short time period. You're going to spend eternity with the Lord God Almighty. Whether we know it today or not, he's someone we want to be pleasing. He's someone we want to look at and to be bragging on us. And so what is it that makes that happen? Well, the first thing that jumps out in my mind, and I'm sure it jumps out in your mind, is the Lord keeps referring to him as a person of integrity. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on earth. He's upright. To say he's upright and to say he is a man of integrity. Scroll down and look at chapter 2. And the Lord uses the word upright again in verse 3. But then in the middle part of that, he says he still holds fast to his integrity. The Lord likes integrity. You may have remembered something that happened a couple of weeks ago when our vice president said that he did not have lunch alone with other women. Only his wife is the only person he did that. And people just, you know, made fun of that. That was the most hilarious thing, and actually ridiculed Vice President Pence. God didn't ridicule him. The culture might have ridiculed him. CNN might have ridiculed him and a couple of other people, actually a whole bunch of other people. But the Lord was not up there saying, "Oh, Mike, please be quiet." No, the Lord was like, "That's my man. That's my boy. He's doing what he was called to do. He likes uprightness. He likes integrity, even when it's gone out of favor and even when people begin to make fun of it today." So we know by looking at this verse, these actually two verses, 1 verse 8, he was blameless. He was upright. He feared God and he turned away from evil. So he's not a guy that gets as close to evil as he can. It's like, ooh, you know, I better back off now. No, he's a guy that there's some evil there. He starts going in the other direction. That's what he tells us in chapter 1. In chapter 3, he tells us he's blameless, he's upright, he turns away from evil, he holds fast to his integrity. So he embraces, he wants integrity. That is something that's important to him. But what kind of man was he? What kind of man was Job? Really, you know? What was he like? What did he do on a daily basis as he interacted with employees, as he interacted with his children, people in the community? What kind of man was he? What is the person like or the woman like that God looks at and says, "That's someone that I'm proud of"? What do they look like? Well, real quickly, turn over to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. Now, you know these passages. But what we tend to do when we look at these passages is we tend to think about Job and he's arguing with these fellows. "Job, you must have done this. You must have engaged in some inappropriate relationship, or you must have stolen something from someone, or you must have mistreated someone. That's why these bad things are happening." And so in the meantime, Job just pushes back and says, "Guys, I'm telling you, it's not that." You know, Job would tell us and he would have told them he was not perfect, but he knew that he knew he was a man of integrity, and he knew that he was not going through what he was experiencing because he had done something bad. And so if you look in Job 27, scroll down and look at verse 5, and he says, "Far be it from me to say that you are right." So it's almost like someone that's accused of a crime they did not commit. "I am not going to plead guilty to this crime, even though you might release me from prison and I don't have to serve any more time and I'd go free. I am not going to do that because that would violate my integrity. I'm not going to admit that I have done what you say I've done because I didn't do it." And he's saying, so I'm holding on to my integrity. He says, "Far be it from me to say that you're right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me." I want you to understand the kind of man that I am. I want you to understand, a woman would say, the kind of woman that I am. I hold fast to my integrity. So he held on to that. He defended himself. It's not saying that he was perfect, but he's saying this evil that has come upon me, he knew it in his heart, was not because of something that he had done. He had tried to serve the Lord well, and the things they were accusing him of, he knew he had not done that. So what kind of man was he? He was a man of integrity, but why was God out there bragging on him? Turn over to Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29, and just look at the beginning of it. Job 29, beginning with verse 1. Job again took up his discourse. So they say, "You must have hurt people. You must have stolen from people." Well, he comes back and defends himself. He took up his discourse and he said, verse 2, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me." So stop right there. What Job is doing is what people do when they grieve. They go back to the days when their children were alive. They go back to the days when their spouse was alive. And they think about what those days were like. And they reminisce. And they almost, as the phrase goes, kicks themselves and say, why did I not enjoy those days better? I could have enjoyed my children. I could have enjoyed that. He's reminiscing and he's thinking about what life was back in the movies. It's a flashback. He's thinking about what life was like before all of this trouble befell him. So he says in verse 3, when his lamp shone upon my head, in other words, when God was blessing me, and by his light I walked through darkness. So stop right there. First thing you're starting to see is that Job use the light that comes from God's Word. Doesn't Psalm 119 say something about that? Your Word is a light unto my feet. And so basically he used that light. You do this, you don't do that. You treat people this way, you don't treat them that way. Your Word showed me the way I was, and he's reminiscing about those days. Shift on down to verse 4. And I was in my prime. So Job is not a guy that on his deathbed said, I need Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. You know, he would have said the Messiah. I need God. He's not a guy like that. When he was in his best health, when he had all his teeth, when he could walk well, he in his prime, he was serving God. He said, I was in my prime when the friendship of God was upon my tent. So when God was close to me and he's feeling like God has left him, kind of betrayed him. Verse 5, when the Almighty was yet with me and my children were all around me. This is what bothers him the most. And my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. Stop right there. He's thinking back about his kids being all around, thinking back about worshiping the Lord and the Lord blessing him as he saw it. So he would go and worship and say, God has truly blessed me. God is blessing me because I'm treating people right. I'm treating people fairly. I'm doing right things. God's blessing me. I'm happy about that. When I went out, verse 7, to the gate of the city, we know from the Old Testament that when people sat in the gate, that meant they were leaders. They were important people. When I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. They treated him with respect. When he walked into a room, people listened. In the old days, young folks, there was a commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens, and they would show that commercial, and it'd get quiet when E.F. Hutton started talking. And so what Job is saying, I was like E.F. Hutton before there was an E.F. Hutton. When I started speaking, people would stop and they'd listen to me. The voice of the nobles hushed. Even the important people would be quiet, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard it and called me blessed, and when the eye saw it and approved. Now, this is what Job's life was like. His children were there. People listened to him. They paid attention to him. What else did he do? Look at verse 12. Because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. What did Job do? Yes, he had integrity. Yes, he walked in the Word of God, but he helped people that were in need. So one of the things we see in Job's life, one of the reasons God is saying, have you considered my servant Job, is because let's say there's a kid that's being bullied, or let's say there's a poor person that needs a hand. Job was the guy to give them that hand. Job was the first person that was there for them. Verse 13, he says, the blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. There were widows that could not do for themselves, and I did things in a way, he's not bragging, he's defending himself, I did things in a way that their heart sang for joy. This is the man or the woman that God brags on. You keep on going, and he says, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like the robe and the turban. So first off, you see, he walked in the Word. Next, you see, he goes out there, and he helps people. And now it says he puts on righteousness and justice. In other words, he treated people right, and he did his best to make sure other people were treated right as well. You are not going to mistreat someone. You are not going to talk down about someone on Job's watch. He was the defender of people that could not defend themselves. It says in verse 15, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Again, helping people who could not help themselves. I was a father to the needy. and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. So people that were being mistreated, I searched out what that was about, and I tried to do what I could to fix it. This is important. Verse 17, I broke the fangs of the unrighteous, and I made him drop his prey from his teeth. There are always people that oppress others, mistreat others, gossip about others. And what he says, they had fangs. He's saying they're like snakes. I broke their fangs. They had prey within their mouths. I made them drop that. So he defended people that could not defend themselves. He was about righteousness and justice. One of the key characteristics, and you've heard me talk about this in the past, as far as God is concerned, is people that stick up for people that are being mistreated or abused or picked on. You know, you shouldn't get in a fight. But if you're ever going to get in a fight, it's when someone else is being bullied or mistreated. That's when you really are in trouble if you don't get in a fight. And so what Job is saying in this example was when people were mistreating someone else, I'd go along and he uses the terminology, I'd break their fangs, I would make them release their prey. I was not going to allow someone to be mistreated on my watch. That's a man of integrity. That's a man or woman that God brags on. Verse 18, then I thought, I shall die in my nest. You know, got a good life here. I shall multiply my days as the sand. I'm probably going to live a long life too. My roots spread out to the waters and the dew all night on my branches. My glory fresh with me and my bow even in my hand. So my life was really good. Now when your life is going along pretty well, you're doing okay at school or you're going okay at the workplace, you're getting raise after raise or bonus after bonus, then people come around you and they seek your help. And so notice in verse 21, men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. So the next thing you see is he counseled people. People had trouble. They didn't know what to do about a certain situation. They came up and they said, Job, how can I get ahead at my job? Job, how can I work this thing out in my marriage? Your marriage seems to be going okay. You know, your children seem to be going all right. How can I do that? And he would take the time. The scripture says they would listen to him. And when he would talk, they would pay attention to what he said. Verse 22, and after I spoke, they did not speak again. And my word dropped upon them. So there's two things here. One, it shows that they respected Job, but secondly, it shows that Job took the time to help people that were in need. They waited for me, verse 23, as for the rain. They opened their mouths as for the spring rain. In other words, he gave them information that would help them with their lives, help them in their work, help them with their school, help them with their families. He helped these people in the counsel that he gave them. I smiled on them when they had no confidence. I encouraged them. You can do this. You can get through these things. He counseled these people. And the light of my face did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. So I was the guy that went around and like, God's going to get you through this thing. There will be. The sun will rise tomorrow. You will get through this. Now, as you're going through this, it's easy to come back and say, this guy did all these things and yet this bad stuff happened. What we need to focus on is this is the kind of guy, this is the kind of gal that God says to Satan, you seen my servant Job? You've seen my servant such and such. This is what you and I want to aspire to be like. And though it seemed to be going pretty bad for Job at this particular moment, it's not going too bad for him right now. It's going quite well because he honored God in the way he lived his life. Now, take your Bible and turn over to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, they respond. He talks some more and defends himself. And in Job chapter 31, I want you to notice how concerned he is with pursuing purity. This is important. We have a culture, and he had one as well, that said it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. Look at verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? What would be my portion from God above and my heritage from the Almighty on high? Is not calamity for the unrighteous and disaster for the workers of iniquity? So he just made a commitment. I'm not going to lust after a young woman. You and I might say you wouldn't lust after anyone is what he's saying there. I'm going to do my best to pursue purity. That's what he's saying. Verse 4, does not he see my ways? God sees everything I do. He says in the middle part of verse 4, and number my steps. If I walk with falsehood, and my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in a just balance, and let God know my integrity. So in other words, I did not walk in falsehood. I did not act in an impure way. He also is getting at lying. So I did not lust. I did not lie to other people. Verse 7, if my step is turned aside from my ways, and my heart has gone after my eyes, and if any spot has stuck to my hands, let me sow and another eat, and let what grows for me be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed toward a woman, and I have lain in wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down on her, for that would be a heinous crime. That would be an iniquity to be punished by the judges, for that would be a fire that consumes as far as Abaddon, and it would burn to the root of my increase. If I have rejected the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they brought a complaint against me. So stop right there. So he goes on and he talks about how he's lived a pure life. He talks about lust. He alludes to not lying. And then he begins to shift gears and he says, I have not rejected the calls or the needs of my manservant or my maidservant. What is he saying there? I have treated people fairly. And so again, the man, the woman God brags on, is someone that treats other people fairly. They pay their employees what they're due. They give their siblings, when the inheritance comes in, they give them their part. They treat other people fairly. And so he says in verse 14, what then shall I say? What then shall I say when God rises up? When he makes inquiry, what shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld anything that the poor desired, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or if I have eaten my morsel alone, and the fatherless has not eaten of it, for my youth the fatherless grew up with me as with my father, and if from my mother's womb I guided the widow, if I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or needy without covering, he says, if his body has not blessed me, it's a very long sentence, isn't it? And if he has not been warm with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless because I saw my help in the gate, then let my shoulder blade fall off from my shoulder and let my arm be broken from its socket. So stop right there. What in the world is Job saying? First off, if you go back to the top there, he says, look, the poor person and I came from our mother's womb. In other words, I'm not better than he is. I'm not better than she is. We are equal in God's eyes. No one is better than I am. So I didn't walk around and with a chip on my shoulders and say, well, I'm better than you or I'm better than them. He didn't do that. He didn't say, well, I have succeeded because I worked harder or anything like that. He looked for people that were struggling, and he did what he could to reach out and to treat them well. He treated people fairly. And so at a time in his culture when, much like our own, this person's a winner, this person's a loser, he thought, there but by the grace of God go I. And he realized he was not any better than anyone else. And he goes on and says, if I've mistreated someone, let the Lord knock my shoulder out of my socket. You know, let some bad thing happen to me. I'm just here to tell you, I've treated people the way they ought to be treated. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. That's why you're able to read it here tonight, centuries later. And that's why God was up there in heaven saying, hey, have you seen my servant Job? Because Job walked around and didn't look down on people and say, well, I'm a lot better than you, or I'm more important than you. He didn't do that. He saw all of these people as valuable and important in his eyes. Verse 23, For I was in terror of calamity from God, and I could not have faced his majesty. If I had made gold my trust or called fine gold my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was abundant or because my hand had found much, if I have looked at the sun when it shone or the moon moving in splendor and my heart has been secretly enticed and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity to be punished by the judges, for I would have been false to God above. What does he say there? I did not trust in wealth, and I didn't worship this creation of ours either. I put my faith in the Lord God Almighty as I went along, and I continued to treat people fairly. Verse 29, if I had rejoiced in the ruin of him who hated me, or exulted when evil overtook him, I have not let my mouth sin by asking for his life with a curse. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been filled with his meat? The sojourner has not lodged in the street. I have opened the doors to my travelers. So he's going on again and talking about treating people fairly. He's treated his enemies fairly. He's treated people that are sojourners that are not from his area fairly. Verse 33, if I have concealed my transgressions as others do by hiding my iniquity in my heart, because I stood in great fear of the multitude and the contempt of families terrified me, so that I kept silent and I did not go out of doors. Oh, that I had one to hear me. So he's saying, I didn't do any of those things. I have done my best to follow the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then as you continue on, he ends it in verse 21. If I have raised my hand against the fatherless because I saw my help in the gate, then let my shoulder blade fall from my shoulder. I already mentioned that. But the last part, shift down to verse 36. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it on me as a crown. I would give me an account of all my steps like a prince. I would approach him. If my land has cried out against me and its furrows have wept together, if I have eaten its yield without payment and made its owners breathe their last, let the thorns grow instead of wheat and the foul weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. He treated people fairly. When I owed people, I paid them. If I owed someone for land, I paid them. If I didn't, if there's someone I haven't paid, let thorns come up and grow up in the field. When Job is saying this, he's defending himself, and he feels like it's his way of pushing back and holding on to his integrity. This is all true. This really happened. He was really the godly man that he's describing in these couple of chapters here as he talks about the way he lived his life. And this is the man that God looked at and said to Satan, have you seen Job? Job is a man that is blameless. Job is a man who holds fast to his integrity, even though I have allowed you to cause all this trouble for him. As you think about Job and you think about the life that we live, it's important that we understand our life is not to be kind of a hunky-dory, enjoyable life filled with pleasure. We live at a time where people judge God's blessing upon them by how much money they make, by how nice their family treats them, and by some of the blessings that they receive. That's not really what it's about. It's something that's to come that God takes people and where the real blessings come. And so as we live our lives, sometimes we can become confused. Someone we care about passes away. Some illness befalls us and we're not as chipper as we used to be. We can't get around like we used to get around. But we may be doing exactly what God wants us to do, holding fast to our integrity as we go forth and we try to live a godly life that honors Him. And sometimes at the lowest point of our lives, when we might even think, and notice you hear this in Job, he seems to think that God's kind of walked away from him. God's kind of no longer has favor with him. Oh, no. God's still there with Job every step of this way. And God is actually somewhere bragging about him, even though he's going through all this pain. And people think God has walked away from him. Sometimes what we see in this world is not all that there is. There's something more behind the curtain. And so I encourage you to read the book of Job. We tend to read it as a means of, okay, so this is how I deal with grief, or this is how I can get through my sorrow. Well, that's true. But it's also, it tells us, this is the person that God is proud of. This is the person that God brags about. This is the person that is well-pleasing to Him, this kind of lifestyle. This is the person that will one day stand before a holy God and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And on that day, all this trouble, all this difficulty, all this pain that Job has experienced, it'll mean nothing when he's in the presence of the Lord and he receives the blessings for living this life of integrity here on this earth. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's think about this life of Job. And he's a man that suffered a lot, and at one point he was at the pinnacle of success, but then he was viewed as a failure by the culture around him. As you think about his life, let us also imitate his life and do all that we can to follow the Lord as close as we can. Remember that this man like Job that God bragged about, but also to remember Jesus and the life that he lived. And really, Job fell short, but as we think about Jesus, he's the one that lived the perfect life. He's the one that we really want to imitate as we go forth. He's the one that we really want to be like. Father, we thank you for this old story, centuries and centuries ago, that it was recorded in your scripture. We thank you for what you teach us about life by looking at the life of Job. Help us to realize that what this world values is not what you value. What they consider success is not what you view as success. And help us, Lord, to embrace integrity wherever we may be, and realize that we may not be honored for it in this life, but we certainly will in the next. Help us to embrace it with all that we have. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and we ask these things. Amen.